Blog Talk Radio.
This word is from the Lord this morning, found in the book of 17, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 16, reads, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. We want to preach briefly on this subject this morning, invisible reality. Invisible reality. The description that Elisha is best known for throughout these chapters of 2 Kings is that of the man of God. But when you look at the life he lived, the ministry he exercised, and the authority that he displayed earned him this characterization of being a man of God.
Amen.
And by him being a man of God, it's not surprising that we find the devil attacking him at every opportunity. For the story before us that's contained in our text this morning is an outstanding example of the hatred and hostility that the enemy had for God and the servants of God. For what Elisha did, he exposed the plans of the Syrian armies so that their attempted attacks on the king of Israel were frustrated time and time again. So we find the Syrian king troubled, and he suspected that there was treachery in the rank. So he assembled his servants together and tried to find out who was leaking his military secrets. So the story is told in our text, says that one of the servants said, "King, it's not us, it's Elijah the prophet. He's in Israel, and he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." You see, because the life of a man of God, a life of a child of God, it exposes the plans and the plots of the enemy.
Amen.
Your character, your ministry are a rebuke to the sin and the wickedness that is around you. The world is faithful. The world is comfortable in its sin. But when you, as a child of God, start interacting with the world becomes uncomfortable. And it's for this reason you become the target of vicious retaliation. So our text this morning teaches us that despite Satan's devices, the man of God, the child of God, is unbeatable because they have the secret of victory.
Amen.
And that secret of victory are invisible realities. For if you consider this, that satanic opposition is pointless. Listen to the king of Syria. He said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send him and get him." Now, in our text, Dalton may appear to be a very perilous place in which to be found. Then here's the king of Syria ruling this area, but when the man of God is in the center of the will of God, he has
nothing to fear. As a matter of fact, he's unbeatable when it comes to satanic opposition, because the motivation of the enemy is always wrong. Listen to the king saying, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And the only motivation that the king of Syria had for apprehending Elisha was that the man of God was exposing his evil plan. And this is the only motivation that Satan has for messing with us. Those who believe in Christ Jesus, those who walk the walk as Jesus has directed, will expose these Satan's plans. Therefore, he wants to trip us up. He's the enemy of our souls. And the enemy of our souls, he hates the holy life.
Amen.
Because that holy life exposes the ugliness of sin and the emptiness of hypocrisy.
Yes, sir.
See, it doesn't make any sense pretending to be saved.
Well,
that doesn't get you anywhere. Pretending to be a child of God, you may fool folk on Sunday, but it's more than just a one-day journey. I wish I had some help on Sunday. It's a 7-day, 24/7 endeavor.
Amen.
Satan is busy, and you can't afford to just walk the walk all the way on Sunday. You've got to walk it every day.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus told us that the devil was the murderer from the beginning, and the father of lies. So what else can we expect than vicious opposition from Satan? And another thing, my brothers and sisters, the enemy always calculates off. His math is off. We're told in the text that the king sent horses and chariots and a great army where Elisha was. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Now, with all of his sons, Satan always oversteps his bounds. And this is illustrated in our story this morning. Since the king of Syria was aware that Elisha knew his whereabouts, it seems strange that he would try to trick the very man who knew all of the secrets. And furthermore, the king of Syria had miscalculated the fact that the biggest army that he could command was no match for the hosts that were supporting the man of God. Listen to Paul when he tells us that God is for us. Who can be against us? Then he goes on, John tells us, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So when we see satanic opposition, it's utterly useless when it's pitted against a man like Elijah. We should gain comfort from this. From the godly walk of life, it challenges others to seek and pursue holiness. If you're tired of getting beat up, you need to change your walk. You need to start walking holy and let God guide your life.
Amen.
Because a guided life is also a guarded life.
Amen.
Can I get a witness today? So we hear Elijah telling the servant, don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And it seems to be a principle of spiritual experience that God gives special revelations to his own people under the pressure of opposition and persecution.
Amen.
When you're facing opposition, when you are being persecuted, God has a way of revealing deep things unto you to study your theory and let you realize and understand that everything will be all right. But when you look at Job, Job was given his greatest vision of God under pressure that almost killed him. Daniel proved that God would take care of his own even in a den of life. Paul wrote some of his greatest epistles while chained in a Roman dungeon. And John the Revelator saw the unveiling of an enthroned Jesus and the eternal destinies of men and women while he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. This was also the case of Elisha this morning. Here's Elisha, encircled with satanic opposition. But the man of God was able to see invisible reality. Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those that are with them. You see, like Moses before him, Elisha endured and seen him who is invisible. Long before Elisha's servant knew what he was talking about, Elisha had seen beyond the Syrian army to invisible host of angelic guardians surrounding and protecting him. So he could say with calm and composure, don't be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. No doubt, in Elisha's quiet time that morning, God had given him a vision of a plan of power and deliverance. So from this we learn that when a believer is in the center of God's will, the devil's attack will not ultimately hinder them, but it only serves to make a spiritual and eternal truth all the more precious and real. When you're going through something and Satan is attacking you, don't be afraid. God is just showing you some invisible reality. I wish I had a witness. Because another thing Elisha did, he shared his invisible reality. The text says that Elisha prayed. And he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, what he looked at, he saw, when his eyes opened, he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, only a person who's seen spiritual vision themselves can make invisible realities known to somebody else. So it appears that Elijah's servant was busy ministering day by day. And while he was ministering, he was unaware of the invisible realities that were being enjoyed by Elijah. But under the pressure of satanic attack, Elisha was able to pray effectively for his servant so that his spiritual eyes were open to behold the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire. Catch the lesson. Once we catch a glimpse of them, our praying power assumes a new dimension. And then miracles begin to take place. I wish I had a witness. Once God gives you a glimpse of glory, that serves to elevate your prayer life. Once you go through something and you have nobody else to depend on but God, that intensifies your prayer. Because if everything was going well in your life, your prayer would be mediocre. I'm getting an email over the airwaves. Some of y'all don't believe that, but can't nobody work trouble better than Jesus.
Amen.
It was trouble that brought us to Jesus in the first place. Amen. It was hunger that brought us to Jesus in the first place. It was sickness that brought us to Jesus in the first place. And once he took care of our situation, can nobody do me like Jesus?
So
my prayer went from a lower level to a higher level based on what God did.
Amen.
You see, it should be so that when people are around us who are spiritually blind, they should be able to start seeing something. We also find that in Jesus, we're unbeatable, because the greater the opposition from the enemy, the deeper becomes our spiritual experience. I know too much about him, therefore you cannot make me doubt him based on my experience with him. Then we move on to what's called the authority of sovereign vindication. The text tells us that when the Syrian army came down to it, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike the people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. To those of us who stay in the center of God's will, never have to justify ourselves, because God will ultimately support and defend his own. This is exemplified in the historical record of Elisha and the opposing army of Syria. If you notice carefully, that sovereign vindication of Elisha was demonstrated in a twofold fact. First, Elisha was gloriously delivered. He prayed, and God struck the Syrians with blindness according to Elisha's word. Could anything be more confirmative for the prophet of the Lord, when he speaks and God does? God acted according to the word of Elisha. And if this is not vindication, then nothing else could be. And the same is also true for us. If we know what it is to be yielded to the sovereign will of God, all things are possible. Because God will always vindicate his own by a glorious deliverance. If not immediately, it will be ultimately.
Amen.
And then notice that the foes of Elisha were gloriously defeated. So the bands of the Syrian raiders, they came no more to the land of Israel. This defeat of the Syrians is worthy of study. For Elisha triumphed over the enemy, where he reduced Assyria to a state of harmlessness. He prayed, and God struck them with blindness. And then he moved on and reduced Assyria to a state of helplessness. You see, what Elijah did, he gave us an example and let us know that the enemy is alive. But he's been rendered inoperative and harmless to the child of God that knows how to use their weapons in the right way. Look at Elijah. He called and told the Lord to blindness, and then John, he tells us later on in the New Testament that the faithful, being you and I, overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And that word overcame means to render the enemy harmless. And we need to stop every now and then, hallelujah, for the victory that God has provided us. For he would also reduce the Syrians to a state of helplessness. Here they are, blind. And then they're led to the land of Israel. And here they are, blind, and the king of Israel is looking down at them. And Elijah says, restore their sight. And God restored their sight. And once they got the sight back, they were able to see that they were in dangerous territory. They started out trying to take Elijah and Israel out. But once they were blinded and put in a helpless and harmless state, once they got the sight back, they realized and understood that they were also in a open state. The individuals who they were trying to take out now has the advantage over them. Can you imagine when they got the sight back, how scared and uneasy they were? They were paralyzed when they found themselves at the mercy of those who they wanted to take out. And if Elijah had given the word, he could have massacred every last one of them. But what Elijah did and what he's showing us is that there's more than one way to overcome evil. He reduced them to a state of hopelessness because Elijah was up against flesh and blood. But the forces behind the Syrians were spiritual wisdom. They were just wrong. So that New Testament principle of retaliation, which is leaving all vengeance to God, is applied in this circumstance. Notice, if you will, in the words of Paul, where he said, beloved, don't avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, this is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Not you, but I will. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him the drink for his bitter soul. You will reap coals of fire on his head. And I know at first glance that doesn't feel right because your natural nature is to get them back. But God says, no, I'm taking you a higher level. Let me take care of it. And no doubt, Paul had Elijah in mind when he wrote those words. So here, the Syrian army is defeated. And they didn't come again into the land of Israel. So while the name, the fame of the man of God spread inspired why the Syrians feared him even more, because they had discovered that Elisha was invisible. There are many incentives for living a holy life. And the main one is that of glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. But there are, as I quote, other motivations that drive us to know and engage in this holy walk with the Lord. And one is that of being kept from the evil one. So that devil is a dirty devil. And it doesn't mean us any good. Always acute. Always tempted. And if you decide to join forces with him, he's not your friend. He's out to destroy you. But I, brother, have you. For Jesus will always be a friend. He's a friend when everything is going right. And he's a friend when nothing seems to work out. When you're going through trials and tribulations, true friends are few and far between. But how many of you know that you can always count on Jesus? It may seem like there's no way, but God specializes in giving us invisible reality. I can't see it naturally, but I know it's there. When problems show up, I can't see the solution naturally, but I know it's there based on what my friend Jesus has already done. But Jesus knows how to keep his children from the evil one. And he knows how to handle our haters. He knows how to handle human enemies as well as spiritual enemies. For God is our protector. Yes, he is. He's our defense. He's our fortress. He's our shield. He's our refuge. That how can we know that in the time of trouble, God is our hiding place? Can nobody do us like Jesus? And you can't always see him coming, but brothers and sisters, you gotta have faith and rest assured that God has some invisible reality at your disposal. We know what it is not to have, but some way out of nowhere, God provided everything that we needed. Do I have a witness? Isn't God already? Somebody say, yeah! He's good. He's good. He's good. He specializes and provides us in physical reality.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Man.
Oh, good. Last week was. Last week was 457, the week before 396, the week before 510, Father's Day 484.
Who?
Father's Day. 484. The week before 5 is 604.
The week before 5. So my rate may be dropping
up. It's, I mean, 484 last week.
But the 6, you said 5 was there.
Yeah, I was, yeah. No, Father's Day, yeah, the week before Father's Day, 604.
A lot of people are talking about that. It's not going to preach, so we have a little more competition.
That's still good, 3.
Yeah.
457 last week, that's 500.
You think that's not even good?
No.
Wow. Wow. So, Doug, there's only you, but.